again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you from the lovely United States of America, specifically the state of Nebraska, the heartland of the United States. I believe there is much and many reasons for this to be the heartland and the capital city of Lincoln. But yes, the core of good people in this place that love God, that walk with Him, that seek His face, and genuinely just really, really quality people, you know, in this area. And gosh, I love coming back here. I love coming back to a place that is very much, you know, been part of my life throughout. And I love spending time in a place like this, being able to just pray, and as we pray and seek the Lord going into now 2014, you know, we look into what God is doing. And this year for the people of God is going to be an incredible, incredible year. You know, for the team at Faith Mix, you know, we, you know, God has given us a mission to return, to revive, and to restore. You know, we are about returning sinners to the way of righteousness. We're about reviving the standard of truth on the earth. You know, we are about restoring the children of God to the abundant life made available to them in Christ Jesus. You know, that's what we do when we put our efforts together like this, and that's part of who we are in the earth, and that's part of who you are, and part of what God has for us to assist you with, and part of what you can assist other people with too. You know, I mean, it's a very simple way that you can do that is when you hear these messages or when they go up, just to share the link. Just to share the link with somebody else that needs it. Somebody else that you know that this word would help. And when you share it, you can just say, hey, you know, just heard this thought, you might be interested in it. Or just send it to somebody and say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? You know, I have some questions too. But put that word there for people. You know, don't just listen. You know, but let this become part of, you know, your action, part of what drives and supports you in being who God made you to be. Because God has a call and a purpose for our life. You know, we have a vision to make ready a people whose hearts have been turned unto the Lord. You know, we do that, you know, around the world. You know, around the world we do that. And, you know, we together can accomplish incredible things in Christ Jesus. You know, God has put a body in the earth for a reason. You know, a body does not function in and of itself one piece. You know, there's only so much that any one of us can do on our own. But when we work together, as the Spirit of God leads us, see, He's the head. You know, Jesus Christ is the head. He's the head of the church, not the Pope. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the head, not the pastor, not anybody else but Jesus. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And you, as part of the body of Christ, you can receive the message from the head. Now, all the people that are out there that are in leadership positions, including us, because God has given us leadership in the body of Christ. That's part of what we do. We understand that role that God has given to us of who we are in this process as well. But even us, in what we do, ours is to help build you up into the knowledge and the admonition of the Lord. Ours is to give the proper food at the proper time. Ours is to walk in step with God, do what He has for us to do, and to support the others that are there, one joint supply at the need of another. You know, we do what we do because God has given us the opportunity and the skills and the ability, and a Spirit flows through us for that purpose. Likewise, you have stuff to do too. God's got reason and purpose for you being in the earth right now, this day. God has reason and purpose for your life, your existence. And tapping into that is going to see greater fulfillment in your time in the earth. You know, a lot of people get upset and tired and stressed out because they're investment, their time, their energies, all of that is going into building the world and the world system. And of course, you're going to, you're not going to find any fulfillment in that. Scriptures has talked to us about coming out of Babylon. You know, rather, we're not supposed to be making bricks for Pharaoh. We're supposed to be about the kingdom of God and His purposes. So, you know, for us, you know, we, God has called us to come out. And, you know, there's obstacles along the way, yes. But we've got the power in the Spirit of the living God to overcome those obstacles and to come through. You know, the obstacles are going to be there. Sometimes the devil will ramp them up and they'll even increase. But with whatever you face, know that God is in control and that you have the power in the Spirit of God as given to us by God's Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon us to be witnesses and, you know, to wherever it is that God sends us, but ultimately to be a representation of God and to put to death anything in our lives that keeps us from being who God made us to be. All right, so you've got the power. So now you need to use that power and you need to move it in the right direction. You need to use the power of God. Power is not given just for the sake of power. Power is given with purpose. You've been given power with purpose. So use the power that God has put in you for the purposes of God. Okay, let's get into the Word here a bit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou clearly see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Ah, man, amen. Oh, praise God for the reading of his word. Yes, there's so much in this chapter, and there's so many, 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 many things. You know, actually, just even reading Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, there's so much in there for you and for your walk and for the life that you live in for this year. But there's a few things that I want to take a little time on. All right. First of all, okay, God starts off by telling us not to judge. For whatever measure that you measure unto others, you know that it's going to be measured to you. But then in verse 15, he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." All right, so you know what's funny? So often, the people that are the false prophets will be the ones that turn around and tell you, don't judge me. So, okay, because that's a little game they like to play. And they like to play that game because they don't want to be held to anything, and they want to carry on with the destructive works that they're doing to other people in Jesus' name. And even, you know, in the same chapter, Jesus talked about there's going to be many that come to him on that day and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name?" And he'll say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I don't know you." So, here's the thing. When you are, regarding judgment, if you are imposing your standard onto somebody else, and if you are putting your thought, your expectation, your thing onto somebody else, that's you judging them. But if you are based on the truth of the Word of God, which is alive, true, consistent, never changes, the bedrock, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. He is the cornerstone. He does not change. His word does not change. So if you are by the truth, the rightly divided word of God, if you are by the truth measuring and seeing where people line up in comparison to that truth, and somebody does not line up, then you make a note of that. That's why, you know, in verse 15 it says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" Okay, fruits. Galatians, here, keep your finger in Matthew 7 so that you can come back there. But let's flip forward to Galatians chapter 5. I want to show you what the fruits are. Because the fruits are not the works. If you look at the works, you're going to be deceived. Because if you look at the works, well, the works, yeah, they build structures, they do charity projects, they do, you know, they make grand speeches and give long prayers and do all that stuff. Those are all works. And if you look at the works, you're going to be fooled. Because inside they're ravening wolves. Do you know them by their fruits? Well, what are the fruits? Well, let's go to chapter 22. Or Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. let us not be desirous or of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. All right. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay. That is, those are descriptions of the character and the nature of God. So when somebody has been grafted into God, all right, here for example, meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Those are two different things, okay? All right, the people of God, we are not meek. We are not weak people, W. We are meek people, M. Meek is power under control. Weak, with a W, is when you have no power. When you are meek, you have power that is under control, and it is under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. You have the power living in you that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. You have greater power in you than is in the entire world and the entire world system. Just one of you with the Spirit of the living God can trump the entire world. But that power is under control. We don't just go blasting away. We allow the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us, but when He points us in a particular direction and He turns the safety off, oh, it's on. And the devil knows that. That's why he works so hard to battle with your mind and to try to make you think that you're weak, when in fact the truth of the matter is we're meek. And when you know the power that's in you, and the Word resonates inside your spirit, even as it's doing right now, when you realize who you are in Christ Jesus, something changes. The enemy of your soul does not want that to change in you. Because he knows that if you rise up into who God's made you to be, that's it for His kingdom. That's it for His kingdom in your life. That's it for His kingdom around your life. That's it for His kingdom. You will begin to move each and every day and clearing out every last remnant of that demonic force that's around you. It'll just be gone because you have the power to do it. And once you know what it is, you won't have it anymore. You don't want it anymore. You want the darkness gone and the light to shine bright. But yes, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, people stand up and they will try to use scriptures to further their purposes, but they do not have the fruit of the Spirit. They do not have the character, the nature of God working and growing and filling in them. And you'll know them by their fruit, not by their works. So God has said, beware of false prophets. Beware of them. Why? Because you know why? They will take advantage of you. They will use you. They will merchandise you. They are no different than the slick worlder in a fancy suit. For them, faith is a marketplace. For them, faith is a marketplace. I'll say it one more time. For them, faith is a marketplace. You know, all those guys that were in the temple when Jesus came and cleared it out with a whip, they're all buying and selling in the temple, changing money, selling doves, doing all. For them, faith was a marketplace. And if what they needed to do was stand there next to you in the service and go, praise God, and if that would mean that they would make more money, they would do it. Because for them, their God is money. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Either you will hate one and love the other, serve one and despise the other. So they love money and they despise God. They serve money and they hate God, the true God. Now here's, they don't want the true God. What they want is they want another Jesus. They want another Jesus. So they surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. They bring and they put up another Jesus, another Jesus. They make a different Jesus. They make a different Jesus. They make a Jesus that doesn't have a standard. They make a Jesus that is comfortable to their worldview and to their materialistic mindset and to their satanic agenda. And they put that Jesus up there, and they pay for teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear, and they put those ones on the stage. Those are the ones standing up there. Those are the ones with the dead word in their mouth week to week, because they can only handle a half day's worth of work. And they stand up there, false prophets, false speakers, false ministers, speaking a dead word, and they're destroying their congregations. They're destroying the people. They're sowing that destructive seed into other people's lives. And that destruction reaps corruption in people's souls. And people are empty. And they're looking and they're hungry. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, "Woe unto you Pharisees! For you don't enter the kingdom of God, and you block the other people that would try to enter it either. You try to stop the people that would come in, and you don't go in either." Look, listen, listen. You have access to God through Christ Jesus now. No one stands between you and the Father. If you come through Jesus, and He is the gate, the cross is our transition point from death unto life, from the power of Satan unto God. That is the gate. Jesus is the gate. We go through that into eternal life. When you've moved from this dark world, this satanic world system, into life, you do not have to be blocked. You do not have to be blocked. Let no man try to block you. The veil of the temple was rent in two when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." The hand of God Himself ripped the veil of the temple from top to bottom. And the Holy of Holies was made, it was opened. And the people that were in the outer court could see all the way into the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant, the representation of the presence of God, that was not hid anymore. And God was also not limiting Himself to the temple either. So on a spiritual level, we understand. See, here's the thing. God would do miracles so many times in the natural realm to show a spiritual reality. So in the natural realm, God would show something. So Jesus would open the eyes of a blind man. So, and He would do that miracle, but what He was also showing in that process of that miracle was those that are spiritually blind can now see. He would unblock the deaf ears of someone. And when He would do that, He would show in the realm of the Spirit, those that spiritually were deaf can now hear. When He would heal the cripple, and He would put them on their feet and their legs would become strong, or they would regrow a limb, or that eye would come back. We already covered that. He would show that those that were spiritually crippled are now made whole in me. Can I get an amen? Have you experienced that in your own life? When Jesus healed you, Jesus heals us. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. God heals us. God heals you. He heals us physically. He heals us spiritually. He heals us mentally. You know, you need mental healing after what you've gone through in this world, after the trauma of what this world system does to people, especially if you're not one of them. Especially if you're not playing ball with them. Oh, they want to come after you. But you know what God does? Is He heals us. He heals us. When you come to Jesus, when you bow your knee before the King of Kings, when you put yourself at His feet and you say, "Lord God, heal me." And you come after and you press in and you will not be denied. God heals you. God heals you. Verse 7 in chapter 7 of Matthew says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened." All right, and the reason that people don't have is because they don't ask. And they don't ask, and when they ask for their own pleasure and their own carnality. Look, a lot of times, see, when you ask for something, you ask for it separate from the Spirit of God, separate from God's will and plan and purpose. If you got that thing that you asked for, it would probably kill you. And it is the grace of God that you don't, many times, get the thing that you ask for. Because if you got the thing that you asked for in those situations, you would be reinforcing yourself down a negative path that would hurt your life. That would destroy your life. But, ask and you shall receive. Ask, see, here's the thing. When we pray, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done," what are we doing? You are submitting your will to the will of the King of Kings. You are submitting yourself to the rule and the reign and the lordship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you do that, when you submit yourself to His rule and His reign and His leadership, His lordship, and you're allowing the Spirit of God to work through your life, and He's quickening you and He's moving you, now He puts things and desires in your heart because you are a natural representation and you are an ambassador in the earth of the Kingdom of God. And as He does that with you, then He quickens you by His Spirit to ask. And when you ask in accordance with His will, it's done. So ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. And in this year, in 2014, you, my brothers and sisters, you are to ask your Heavenly Father, and you will receive. You are to seek, and you're going to find. You are to knock, and it shall be opened unto you. This is an incredible year for the people of God. And I'm just going to speak it now so that we've got this on record, because at the close of this year, and Lord willing, He knows His timing, but at the close of this year, I want you to be able to go back and look at this. This is an incredible year, but you know what you need to do is apply it. Look, knowledge without application is worthless, all right? You can know all kinds of things, but if you don't apply that which is there, the truth that's there, if you don't apply it, you never receive the benefit from it. It's much better to know 25% of what you know and apply that 25% and obtain proficiency with it than to know 100% and to apply none of it. You can know a ton of stuff, but if you're not applying it, what good is it to you? You have the truth. You have the Word. You have the Word of the living God in front of you. You have the Word of the living God in your hands. It's right there. It's available for you. Are you applying it? Are you making application of this Word in your life? Are you allowing the Spirit of life and truth to work in you? Or are you resisting the Spirit of God? Because there's something that you want in this world that is probably killing you. You know what? People hold on to things and they fight for their right to hold on to that which kills them. You know what? Nobody's going to take that away from you. You can hold on to that radioactive thing and watch it just rot your hand off. It'll kill you. Or you can let it go. You can let go of that which God does not have for you and to take up what He does have for you. Verse 13, "Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that there be that find it." All right, so Jesus said, enter the strait gate. And the gate to destruction is wide. Look, the world's gate is wide. They'll give you tons of options for your own destruction. Tons of different ways that you can do yourself in. But there is a way that leads to life. The gate is, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Why? Well, because that gate also involves dying. That gate also involves the cross. But here's the thing. The cross is not your final destination. It leadeth unto life. So we've got to go to the cross, and then we've got to go through the cross. You've got to go to, and you've got to go through. And little Southern Baptist right there. You got to go to and you got to go through. Yeah, you've got to go to and you've got to go through the cross. Because once you go to the cross and you're at the foot of the cross with Jesus, once you are crucified with Christ Jesus, once you have gone to that place, that's not where you stop and stay. Because on the other side of the cross is resurrection. And now the life that you now live is hid in Christ Jesus. You are raised from that place. But now no longer you, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Now no longer you, but Him that lives in you. In Him we live and move and have our being. You know, when you get baptized, that's what you are showing. When you get baptized, that is what you are showcasing to everybody, to the entire world system, and you're putting the demonic on notice. When you get baptized, when you go down into that water and you come back up, you are showing that you are in Him, that you are dead to this world, and you are alive in Christ Jesus. That's what you're showing. And it is again, what is it? It is a natural representation of the spiritual reality that has taken place. We are bringing things and putting them on notice in this world. There's a battle going on in this world between in the realm of the spirit, and it's also being manifest in the natural. That is the war that we're in the middle of. And you, my brothers and sisters, have a role to play. You, my brothers and sisters, have a role to play. No longer will you sit on the sidelines, watching, debating, looking, wondering. No, God is calling you to get into the game. God is calling you to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God is calling you to engage in the fight. God is calling you to rise up. God is calling you to stand with your brothers and sisters and to proclaim the truth and to make the truth known. God wants you to be what He's called you to be. God does not want you believing the lie of the devil anymore. You were not called to sit broken down by the side of a pool for 38 years, crippled, and waiting to hopefully hit the lottery so someday your lucky ticket might come in and maybe you'll get a change before you die. No! Jesus Himself walks by and says, get up, take up your mat and walk. Don't ever go back to that pool again. Don't ever go back to that place of bondage again. Don't ever go back to that place. You are not destined to be sitting there with a bunch of weak, broken, impotent people hoping to hit the lottery. He's called your name. He's called your name. And He said, get up. Rise up, stand on your feet and walk in Jesus' name. Take up your mat and walk. My brothers and sisters, this is an incredible year of walking in the power of God. Walking in the Spirit of God. Walking with God's plan and purpose each and every day. And we, here, the team at FaithMix, we invite you to also join us in this journey. We invite you to share the messages. We invite you to pray one for another. You know, I know we tell you guys to write us, but listen, get in serious contact with us in time to come. And ask the Lord what you can do to be part of the vision. Let us know what it is that God's putting on your heart. And we'll see what we can do to support you. We'll see what we can do to help you as you work towards that which God's called you to do in your part of the world, wherever it is that God has you. Look, we are here as those that do the will of the Father. And for those that God has called, hey, praise God for you. Move in that. Don't hide from it. God will, listen, you take a step towards Him, God will back you up, all right? You take another step towards Him, you'll see He's continuing to back you up. You take one more step, you're going to find you're walking. Walk in Jesus' name and be blessed. This is an incredible year. We love you guys and we're praying for you, all right? God bless you. Write us. You can write us through our Facebook page. You can write us at faithmix@gmail.com. Reach us, talk to us, say hi. Know that we're praying for you. Know that we're loving what God is doing with you, and we love you. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.